Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Week 8 wrap-up. This is the Patriots Podcast. Sean here with James.
Hello.
So we are recounting last week's Thursday night victory in Gillette Stadium. Patriots 36, Dolphins 7.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good game. I mean, 19-0 at halftime. Never really in doubt.
It's kind of what we expected.
Pretty much, I mean, it starts from the first drive. We can start with the offense. The first drive for was this the first time all year that we received initially to start the game? Felt like
that
it.
I can remember.
And you know, I love the announcers were saying, "Oh, Dan Campbell, the Dolphins head coach, he wants to put his defense out there and show what they can do."
Yeah, right.
Against the highest scoring team in the NFL. Smart move, Rook coach.
Immediately, what, a 50-yard fucking catch and run to Gronk or something?
It was like a 45-yard catch and run for a touchdown. But even before that, they were handing it to Blunt. Blunt was going downhill on them, and then we got a penalty, and we wound up in 3rd and 16. And God damn it, I love Deion Lewis. Throw a little Josh McDaniels special, quick screen out to Deion Lewis. He just finds all this open room in the middle of the field, puts his head down, and gets 18 yards.
I mean, he had an incredible game.
Yeah.
He is so, no one can tackle him.
Yeah, what did he miss, one game or two games before that?
One game.
Just one game, and you can see the difference as soon as he comes back.
But he was hurt against Indianapolis a little bit, they said.
Oh, yeah, he barely touched the ball, I remember that.
Right.
And then he sat out a game.
I mean, he is just so much quicker. It's like he's so much quicker than everyone on the field.
It almost looks unfair.
It does, but you think, well, those are the best players in the world, or at least on this fucking hemisphere, or you know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, on that there was one play, Deion Lewis came out of the backfield to the left, and he had an option route, and he went to the outside. He broke to the flat, and Brady was looking downfield for a while. He actually had some time on that play. Goes back late to Deion Lewis in the flat out to the left. Catches the ball. Stops. Looks inside over his left shoulder. Koamisi's coming, and he just juked him and went back to the sideline and picked up like 15 yards more.
It was crazy.
It's like he's got eyes in the back of his head. I don't know how he did that.
I mean, I don't want to make the comparison, but he has, it's almost like he's got the awareness that Barry Sanders did, like,
whoa, hey.
Know, I said I didn't want to make the comparison, but it's just like, that's the only, you know, that part of his game. He just knows where to go with the ball so well.
Yeah, he just finds creases that you don't even think are really there. Like that play against the Cowboys, I still can't get it out of my head. Who knows to duck against that D lineman coming to take your head off?
Yeah, he just did.
He just knows. But he's got nice.
That's
instincts.
What Fears said about him. He's got the quickness, but he's also got the vision to back it up, and he wasn't kidding. Like, he just sees things. And I mean, it's almost like that feel. It's like that spatial awareness you have. You know, some people have a lot of it. Some people have literally none of it, like with all things. But that guy has an incredible, like, spatial intelligence.
Like, he can just feel people. You see that a lot with quarterbacks. Like, Tom Brady seems to be able to feel somebody coming behind him.
He does. Brady's got a great space to feel. But, I mean, he doesn't have the athletic ability to back up what he's seeing all the time, you know?
Obviously. Hey, he was our leading rusher last week.
He was, yeah. I mean, that's no knock on Brady. But just the fact that this guy, Lewis, has that awareness, and he's just got that, like, it's like he's got Edelman's quickness type thing.
Yeah, it's
with better vision or something.
In this offense, he's special.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's literally a perfect fit.
Yeah, so that was like the first thing that jumped out to me was this offense is, it's just different when Deion Lewis is playing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Totally different. And obviously, Gronkowski catches that first touchdown pass. But what we also saw, which I mentioned briefly earlier, was LeGarrette Blount had like 3 or 4 carries on the opening drive. He finished with 17 carries, 72 yards.
Solid game.
A lot of that in the second half as well. I mean, we're at least starting to run the ball.
It's almost like it's like their game planning type thing. I mean, the game where they didn't run the ball, what was it, against the Colts?
The Jets,
I'm sorry. Like, we only went into the game with, what, 2 running backs?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to think of how much of that had to do with the health of that, you know? They didn't want to lose one more guy. But it's, you know, it's kind of like that game planning type of thing. They you know, if you can stop the run, they don't even bother going to. They're like, okay, we're not going to run the ball. Like, just and we're not kidding.
Won't do it.
It's not like we're not going to run the ball 10 times. We will run the ball like 4 fucking times.
And win.
Like, and just to set up the play action a couple times. Like, that's it.
Yeah, pretty funny. But yeah, much more balanced game plan this time around, but still a little bit heavy on the pass. We had 38 pass plays, 26 rushes. Tom Brady yep. looked magical once again.
Oh, yeah. He looked great. Edelman had a great game. We thought Edelman was going to be, you know, they had a good matchup with Brent Grimes. He didn't shadow him the whole game, but he covered him a lot. And
yeah, Brent Grimes mostly stayed on the left side.
Yeah. But, I mean, Edelman had, what, 80-something yards, 2 TDs, bunch of catches.
Yeah, 7 catches for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. You can't knock that.
Took some big hits, played really well, made some great plays. You didn't see Amendola as much this game. LaFell had a couple catches, but nothing much. I mean, it was really – it's turning out the big three is Gronk, when everyone's healthy, is Gronk, Edelman, and Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're all healthy and on the field, that's who's getting the ball, and they're not going to stop it.
I know, that's tough. Yeah, and then after that, you got LaFell, Amendola, Chandler. It's pretty nice.
Chandler had a couple plays.
Yeah, nice he had one catch.
That nice catch down the sideline. It's like, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah. How about Brandon LaFell's back shoulder catch? How sick was that? Along the left sideline?
The next few weeks, we're going to start seeing that, you know, start to fire up, I think. You know, his athleticism start to pick back up.
Yeah, it's great to put him on the opposite side from Gronkowski, because Gronk's going to get a lot of safety help.
Right.
And then if you get LaFell opposite that, then you're looking at a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, and remember, last year, LaFell in the open field, a couple of games, once he got his feet under him, once he was in the open field, he was pretty tough to take down. He made some pretty elusive plays last year.
He's a big guy. He can move.
Running after the catch, he was pretty good. So if that picks up, I mean, wow.
That's a nice fourth option.
And then you got the offensive, you know, obviously LeGarrette Blount, like you said, he had a pretty good game, and that's good to see him rolling. But the only negative was they went to the game with 6 offensive linemen, and one went down.
Yep, left the game with 5.
Yeah, not good. But they plugged Wendell right in there, which was lucky. It's like, okay, well, at least this guy started, like, he knows what he's doing, and we didn't miss a goddamn beat.
Yeah. This guy's a 3-4-year starter. He won the Super Bowl at right guard last year. We'll be okay with him at right guard.
Yeah, but depth-wise, it's not too good.
I know. I'm fucking terrified. I don't like this shit. We have 5 healthy offensive linemen, and one of them we just promoted from the practice squad.
Oh, Fleming?
Fleming.
Yeah.
I mean, we're down to our third option at left tackle.
Yeah. Our tackle's playing left tackle.
Yeah, Shaq Mason should be coming back. He's been a limited participant in practice. Brian Stork should be coming back soon.
Yeah, I mean, you got Cannon, Stork, and hopefully they said, what was it, Mason who went down, or was that Trey Jackson?
Trey Jackson went down.
So they said Trey Jackson. They said his injury doesn't seem too bad, and they probably expect a few weeks.
Yeah.
Hopefully Mason comes. Hopefully you're going to get Mason, Cannon, and Stork back at some point.
Cannon hasn't practiced.
He still hasn't practiced?
No, he's got a toe injury. I don't know how long toe injuries take to heal when you're 350 pounds. I don't know.
And it's your big toe.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I know, right? I'm afraid about our tackles.
Because Vollmer is great, but he's had some injury history.
I mean, anything could happen.
You
trip over the 30-yard line. And now we're playing with a tight end to tackle. So,
I mean, when you look at this offensive line, this should be the worst offensive line in football. You know, I mean, I haven't looked roster to roster, but, you know, you got a right tackle playing left tackle. Like we said, you know, all the stuff in the middle, third string right tackle. It's like, this doesn't make any sense why they're doing good. They just played Ndamukong and Sue, Cameron Wake. I know Wake got hurt, but they really didn't have a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our offensive line, and when Trey Jackson was starting and Wendell was on the bench, you're looking at one guy left over from last year's O-line, Sebastian Vollmer, and he's playing out of position.
Right. And they played good. I mean, Brady really was getting the ball out really good, really fast. I mean, a lot's on Brady, obviously. I mean, the guy clearly can deal with it at this point, but, you know, they just played two of the best D-lines in football. Two top five D-lines in football, probably. I don't know about Miami being top five, but they got Sue and friggin' Wake. I mean, that's pretty fucking incredible.
Yeah, and Olivier Vernon. Who was that guy, the other D-tackle, who had a great game? They were giving so much attention to Sue. I mean, it seemed like every single play David Andrews was chipping on Sue.
Yeah. I don't remember the other guy's name, but he played well. And then they coming off the Jets, who had like a few sacks, but really didn't change the game. We won.
Yeah.
I
thought Fleming had his hands full with Cameron Wake.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, yeah, Cameron Wake's he's motivated, is one of the scariest passers in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
And he did okay.
He held in there. Cameron Wake only got one sack. And then he
got hurt.
Tears Achilles, in the third quarter.
Yeah, that was bad.
Ugh.
You don't like to see that. But, you know, going forward, if these guys come back, hopefully, you know, they'll figure it out. This is the worst it's going to be, is my point.
But what I'm saying is that they're like one guy away from
being
having
abysmal.
A tight end play on your offensive line. Like, they literally have no backups.
Yeah, but isn't going to be that much worse than Fleming.
Michael Williams?
Yeah.
He's played tackle.
They've been having him block all season.
Yeah, he blocks a lot.
You know, it's not like they just plug him in. The guy hasn't seen an NFL game in 2 years.
That part isn't... I mean, that's unusual to have on a roster. Tight end who's literally...
extremely unusual. Tackle. But I mean... Bill Belichick, he knows what he's fucking doing with, you know? Yeah,
just
that's why I got rid of Hooman for this guy.
You know,
shot coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I don't want Cameron Fleming to play anymore. I really don't. I don't feel comfortable with him.
He's doing okay, but yeah, I mean that's tough.
I really want Marcus Cannon to come back. Please, please, please come back. And then should they trade for somebody? I mean, trade deadline's coming up this week.
I mean, they could. I don't know. The issue with that is, who are they going to trade for? Because as we talked earlier in the year, the offensive line shortage.
Yeah, I've been hearing some names. I mean, for some reason, Joe Thomas is on the block, according to some people.
Yeah, I don't know how that makes any sense.
Ridiculous.
Well, the thing about Joe Thomas is, you know, what the hell could we give them?
We don't have a first-round pick.
No draft
picks. They stole it from us.
We have no draft picks. I mean, our roster is pretty deep at some spots, but I don't think there's anyone that they're like, okay, we can get rid of him.
Yeah. You know,
we already got rid of a tight end. I mean, if they want to get rid of a defensive lineman, but we've traded four defensive linemen, so, you know, that doesn't make much sense.
We really don't have that much to give.
We don't have a lot of trade bait.
There's some like Russell Okung in Seattle. He's already said that he's not going to re-sign with Seattle because they don't have enough money to pay him.
I think he got hurt, didn't he?
I think he's banged up, but he's not on IR.
No, he just got hurt in the last game, I thought.
Oh, did he really? Ah, oh, shoot.
I thought he could have been a good target. I thought him saw him coming out, but I don't know. Well, what do you mean a good target? We do have two left. We do have two right, you know. Oh, to trade? You mean trade for this year?
Yeah, for this year, because he's a free agent after the season.
I don't know if they're going to do that. That would be retarded. They'd be done. Seattle wouldn't be able to do shit.
Oh, Seattle would be stupid to do that, for sure.
They're fighting for their season right now. I mean, the Browns, I don't know what they're in a decent position right now.
The Browns just gave the Cardinals everything they could handle.
Yeah, so I don't know why they're trying to get rid of their, like, best player.
Yeah, Joe Thomas is a top three left tackle in the NFL.
Whatever. But so the offensive line is...
That's the biggest concern I have.
Very closely monitor this week and going in, you know, coming forth with...
I think that's the biggest danger to us going forward. I mean, look what happened in 2007. How did that team lose? They lost because they couldn't protect the quarterback.
Yeah, but we just played the best defensive lines in football.
And we did okay. That's a good point.
I mean, who's better than them?
What about the Broncos?
St. Louis? We have no chance of playing St. Louis. The Broncos defensive line, you know, it's funny. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, very good players, very talented players. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it because we'll have a big, I'm sure, a big thing about that soon. But it really hasn't been the speed rushers that have been hurting us this year, if you noticed.
Well, nobody's really hurt us that much. I mean, there was that first half against...
But, like, you look at Mario Williams and Jerry Hughes, they did nothing. You know, the guys that have been hurting us are those big, power rush through you type thing, you know? Like Muhammad Wilkerson, Greg Hardy. You know, those are the guys that have hurt us, and we beat all them, and we're not going to probably see many of them much more this year, except for, we'll play everyone in the AFC East again, minus Cameron Wake. But those edge quick guys haven't really been too much of an issue because they always make sure that, like, Gronk pushes them.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of good rushers with press man coverage on the outside.
Yeah,
I think
which the Broncos do have, but, you know.
But so do the Jets.
So do the Jets. A funny thing. You talked about Galaxy last week with Gronk. Did you hear it this week?
Yeah, I heard it.
Did you see what Gronk did?
Did he block?
No.
He went out?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Maybe he was saying... No, funny. He was saying it to... was he saying it to Chandler or Michael Williams?
I don't think so. Gronk was in. No, well, that's pretty cool. They reversed it.
Yeah. I was watching the game.
You picked up on it. You don't think the coaches on the other team... Oh, if he says Galaxy, watch. He might block.
That's funny. Yeah.
So he was in. He was like in a position where he would look like he was going to block. And then he goes, Gronk, Galaxy. And Gronk immediately went out and he threw him the ball.
Perfect. Always one step ahead.
Yeah. I noticed that when he said that. I immediately tuned in. I was like, oh, Galaxy, let's see what he does.
There it is.
Yeah, that was nice. Funny.
Well, let's talk about the Patriots defense because this was, right up there with that Cowboys game, best defensive performances of the year.
Yeah, it was for our team, you mean?
Yeah, for the Patriots. Yeah.
Well, they shut them out in the first half, which is incredible.
This is a team that scored 40 points in back-to-back games.
Yeah, over 40 in back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
So, I was very happy with the way the defense played because they sent pressure. And they, for the first time, I've said in years past that Miami's offensive line has always been bad. And I don't think this year was much of an exception. And they would never kind of target that as, let's sack them.
Right.
And they beat the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, they sacked Tannehill 5 times. Hightower on his own had 3 quarterback knockdowns. I mean, Chandler Hightower Jones had 2 sacks 8. In the first half. He's leading the NFL.
Yeah, Chandler Jones was great in the first half, but Hightower, like the fourth quarter rushes from him, I mean, it was like the offensive tackles had no chance. He was rushing from D end.
He's a wrecking ball. There was one play. It was actually one of the Dolphins' best plays. There was a completion to, I think, Rishard Matthews for like 25 yards. But Hightower is rushing up the A gap. He knocks the center backwards. Running back comes up. He like does a rip move around the running back, and then he hits Tannehill like a millisecond after he releases the ball, knocks him down. Just like this is a linebacker. This is an inside linebacker
crushing guys. It's crazy. Like. You got him and Collins. It's like, Jesus Christ, no matter who's coming, you're going to be frightened.
Yeah, Jamie Collins had a really quiet game, and still the defense delivered.
Yeah.
So what we saw, we had talked a fair amount. I guess we could stay up front. So Ninkovich played well again. Yeah. I think he also had 3 quarterback knockdowns, or 3 quarterback hits.
Yeah, we saw Siligo a lot more this game.
Yeah, Siligo was more a part of the rotation up front. Still a real solid rotation, those D tackles. We got depth. We're keeping them fresh.
Yeah, definitely.
Malcolm Brown's playing a lot and well.
He is playing well. Easley's playing pretty damn good. Branch is playing good. I mean, they're all 4 of those guys. Those man, and even you see, what's his name, too? The guy from New Orleans.
Akeem Hicks.
Hicks. He's playing sparingly, like he's the 5th guy in the rotation, but I mean, they're all playing solid football.
Yeah, and then you see Geno Grissom come into the game. You see him a little bit, the rookie. I don't know why they keep playing him at D-tackle. I mean, he's at 270 pounds.
I don't know.
They keep putting him down there.
They must see something.
But then at like the end of the game, and when they were doing a three-man rush and that big sub package, he was playing on the edge.
Yeah.
But what I noticed one play in particular, I even wrote a note about it, that I was looking at the versatility that we have with our personnel up front. One play, we had Chandler Jones in the A-gap. We had Rob Ninkovich playing inside linebacker. And then we had Jamie Collins covering in like the deep flat. They threw a pass out to the left side, and he was covering like 15 yards downfield on the sideline. We're just mixing up positions. Everything's just all, you know, mixed together and concocted into this weird, you don't even know what number somebody is, why they're in a certain position.
Those are the best defenses. Those are like my favorite defenses.
They can just Matt Patricia can do whatever the hell he wants with the versatility that we have in the front seven.
Well, it's awesome. I mean, you think about it from a quarterback standpoint. You come to your quarterback, you come to the line. They always say, okay, you got to look for a couple. You know, there's always a couple players they're looking for. Okay, where's Chandler Jones? Where's Jamie Collins? Where's Devin McCourty? Like, where are these guys? Okay, well, Chandler Jones is lined up in the A gap. Now you're thinking, what the fuck is he doing there? Jamie Collins is wide left, 15 yards downfield. Like,
he's
what
playing
the
cornerback.
Hell is that? And you have McCourty. You know, we'll get to the secondary. I think McCourty's been doing a really good job with what they've been asking him to do, which has been really hard.
What do you mean in particular?
Well, you know, they needed kind of like another chest. You know, we're missing that other part in the secondary where, you know, that shutdown corner type of thing. Malcolm Butler's playing good and stuff. But McCourty's kind of been the player like, okay, we need somebody to do this for this week. Devin, that's going to be you. And it might not be his strongest suit. You know, it's not what he's best at, but he's good enough and better than everybody else to do it. And I feel like that's why he hasn't showed up so much on the stat sheet and interceptions and stuff, because they're having him. He's like doing like the gritty work in the secondary.
You think so? I think this week it seemed like he was playing more deep zone. And then at the very end of the game, they moved him up and he was playing man coverage on the tight ends.
I'm just talking about in general through the season.
Yeah.
You know, how it's unfolded for him. He's not playing his deep safety. Like, it's not like last year where he was just, you know, center field, that's where he's playing and that's where he's the best at. It's like, okay, we have Harmon who's okay at that. We need someone to cover the tight end. We need someone to man up on this dude. We need somebody to play over here, you know? And he's doing it, and he's doing well, but it's just, that's why I feel like we haven't heard his name so much.
It's not necessarily a bad thing for a safety when you don't hear his name.
No. Well, playmaking-wise, but...
Playmaking-wise, yeah. But exactly what you said, when you're going to get interceptions as a deep safety, it's when they need to throw deep, and you're covering deep, it's when they need to throw deep, and that's when Harmon plays there on third and longs and at the end of the game when they're in passing situations. McCourty does it like first and second down. He's there to deter them from throwing it deep rather than to pick it off when they have to. But speaking of safeties, how good is Patrick Chung playing? I mean, we say it every week. He's still playing great.
He's playing. He got a little banged up there.
On that catch that Jordan Cameron had
or something. Yeah, but it's pretty damn good. He's playing on the tight end so well. He's playing up against the line. He had some really good blitzes too.
Oh yeah. Do you see when he like came within inches of getting a sack, and then him and Chandler Jones were doing a little celebration afterwards where they point to the ceiling like a little Nicky or something, and they jump into each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you see what Belichick said about Patrick Chung?
Yeah.
When he said,
well, someone told me, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about why he didn't pan out so much in his first stint with the Patriots, and Belichick said, well, we just used him wrong, and now we're figuring out he needs to play near the line of scrimmage. He needs to be in more man coverage when they were doing like two safeties, cover two, split safeties deep. And so, yeah, he's playing differently, essentially playing an entirely different position, and he's excelling.
He's playing really well. Yeah, it's pretty good to see.
You mentioned Malcolm Butler before. We had talked about last week him following around Jarvis Landry and hopefully containing him.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked out that well.
No.
Landry only had 6 catches for 71 yards, which is like... I mean, a pretty standard day for him. It's not outrageous. But it seemed like he was open a lot, and Butler seemed like he couldn't keep up with them.
Yeah, and he slipped a little. He's here. There's a couple plays that looked like he slipped and stuff like that. I mean, it didn't kill us. It was fine. It was good enough, definitely.
Yeah, and then opposite that, Rishard Matthews had 7 catches for 62 yards. Logan Ryan was pretty much following him around.
He played a pretty good game.
I thought he did, too.
And then he had that pick.
Yeah, which was a great pick. It was perfect coverage.
Yeah.
Stayed on his inside hip, undercut that out route.
I don't know if they're giving him safety help, and they're saying you got safety help or what, but he is, the last couple of weeks, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's looked like a legitimate number two cornerback. I'm not saying he's above average or he's really good at it, but he looks like he can play number two cornerback.
Yeah, it's not like he is, you know, completely out of place over there.
Yeah, like the last couple of weeks, he covered Rishard Matthews, he covered Brandon Marshall, and he covered Andre Johnson.
Not too bad.
Not bad for a number two guy.
Yeah, and he did decent.
So I feel pretty good about him. Malcolm Butler is, I mean, he's playing the position of a number one cornerback right now, but he's not excelling at it.
No.
But you can't put those expectations too high for him.
No, I mean, he's kind of doing what I expected him and even wanted him to do. Just, you know, go out there, play tough. I mean, the thing about him is he never doesn't give up. I mean, he's always got a lot of fight in him, and he doesn't get down on himself, which is really big in, you know, for that type of situation he's in.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't give up. Like, he'll, you know, play the next play just as hard. And, you know, that's all you can ask. I mean, he's trying to fill Revis's friggin' shoes, who's the best cornerback in football. Like, all I wanted him to do was go out there, compete, and be decent and not look completely like a fool.
Yeah. Which he's done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's all you can really ask for the kid. I mean, he's an undrafted fucking rookie last year.
Yeah.
He wasn't even looked at, you know? And now he's playing decent football. I mean, he hasn't showed up too much, but he doesn't, you know.
It's always good to have something that puts things in perspective. So it's like we got so conditioned last year to watching Revis absolutely like shut down the best receivers.
Yeah.
And it's good to like have that adjustment and realize that, oh, you don't just like take out the other team's best receiver every game. Like that's not a normal thing defensively. No. But no. Yeah, he's definitely competing hard on the outside.
As for depth at cornerback, I do, you know, trade Genline tomorrow. I'd maybe like to see him make a move there too. I mean, I know the offensive line is probably more of a problem at this point, but, you know, our third and fourth cornerbacks right now are almost non-existent.
I actually like Justin Coleman. I think he's been playing pretty well at third cornerback.
It's okay, but there is no one behind. Who's the guy behind him? What's his name?
His name's Rashawn Melvin, I believe.
Yeah. So
he really hasn't seen the field much at all. But yeah,
if God forbid there's an injury there, you're fucked.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's pretty brutal.
Like you are.
We have eight safeties on our roster.
Well, because they've been playing. That's what I'm saying. Like McCourty's been playing like manning up on some guys.
Yeah,
they man up freaking Chung on the other freaking. Like instead of bringing in the third cornerback in most sub package situations, they're bringing in a third safety.
I don't know about that. I think it depends on the game.
Well, it depends on the game. Yeah,
some games they don't.
It seemed to work better for them.
The safeties.
Yeah.
Depends on the game.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
But yeah, that's definitely if there's people available at cornerback, I would definitely expect Bill to pull the trigger.
I heard the name Sean Smith thrown around for a late round pick. He's actually pretty decent. He's not bad.
Sean Smith is great. He's like 6'3". Big cornerback.
Great addition.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I've been hearing more about his backup.
I've been hearing a little bit about that too.
Can't remember the guy's name, but apparently Sean Smith came back from suspension and kind of booted that guy from his starting job. Marcus Cooper, maybe?
Something like that.
That sound right? Anyway.
Yes, I don't know if it is.
Yeah, trade deadline coming up. Maybe we'll have an addition at cornerback, maybe on the offensive line. Probably not anywhere else, really. I mean, how many linebackers can you have? Safeties, edge rushers, D tackles? We got tons of people at those positions.
We're all set at receiver. Running back, we're okay.
Tight end, yeah.
So yeah, pretty much everywhere. Or maybe nothing will happen. Maybe we'll make a trade, but Bill maybe likes trades, so.
Yeah, Bill leads the league in trades over the last, like, 2 years, something like that.
Where we at?
So, anyway, you know, great team win. Defense played amazing. 14 rushing yards or something we gave up. Looks
yeah,
good
they've
going
really
forward.
Stopped the run. They've really focused on that the last couple weeks, and it's worked.
Yeah, you stop the run, then you get after the quarterback, play tight man coverage, and you wind up with 2 picks and 5 sacks. That's the game plan.
And the best part about it, I mean, I don't know about you, what you think, but I think the pass rush is really, you know, we talked about early in training camp how we wanted to see that becoming a big thing. And with the linebackers healthy, it's pretty frightening. And we're going to get cheered back at one of these days.
Yeah, exactly. That just adds
another. That's going to be a freakish pass rush.
What's so great about our pass rush is it's not like most of the other teams where it's like, oh, I got my one pass rusher or I got my two pass rushers. It's like we got like 6 guys who aren't as good. I mean, they're not like Von Millers.
Yeah.
But when you got like 6 guys that are B pluses at rushing the passer and then you put them all out there and you don't know which 4 are coming or 3 or 6.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a lot to handle.
Well, Chandler Jones right now is playing at that Von Miller level.
He is. Yeah.
When you have that and then your 2 linebackers, I mean, I don't know who's a better blitzing linebacker in a 4-3 than our two.
I'm speechless. I got nothing.
I don't think there is a better blitzing linebacker than either Collins or Hightower right now.
Just pass rushing linebackers. About. I mean, like you said, you can line them up at D end and have them pass rush.
You can have them over the center and pass rush. And it's like, so you have those two. You have a great outside rusher. You have Ninkovich, who's just a workhorse, solid guy, high motor guy, plus Sheard, who comes in fresh. And then your D tackles, you got some decent D tackles in the, you know, that can supply pressure up the middle. It's just,
it's a handful.
It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Because,
it'll be interesting.
Like you said, you don't know where it's coming. And like you said earlier, like they'll line up in a situation where you don't know what the hell is going on based on their lineup.
I mean, how many times have we seen Chandler Jones in like the defensive backfield, like 15 yards downfield? And you're like, what the hell is that guy doing? I mean, he's dropped 2 interceptions already.
Right.
But like that goes to show you can't even count on our number one pass rusher to be coming at the quarterback. He could be dropping in coverage, so it could be anybody.
But it's not like Rex Ryan's defense where the DNs are literally dropping in coverage every play and they get pissed.
Yeah.
like Mario Williams talking shit like, I don't know what they're doing with me back here, but my thing is to rush the rusher, rush the passer.
Yeah, silly. But yeah, it looks good right now. And coming up next week, we got the Redskins who are coming off a bye. We'll talk about that later this week. But looking around the NFL a little bit, the biggest game of the week, Broncos-Packers, Sunday Night Football.
Yep.
Packers go into Mile High Stadium, whatever they call it right now, and just shit themselves. They just lay
literally
an egg.
Done.
What did they put up, 10 points? And they were lucky to get 10?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And Peyton Manning, what'd I say? Wouldn't it be funny for Peyton Manning's last hurrah against Aaron, well, probably his last hurrah against Aaron Rodgers, to be a win for the old gun?
Yeah, definitely had his best game of the year. Put up 300 yards, no touchdowns again, but he had an interception very late in the fourth quarter.
He had no touchdowns in that game?
No touchdowns. It was all rushing touchdowns. Hillman had 2, CJ had 1.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they had some from kind of far distances. Or like they were like 10, 15-yard runs, right?
I only saw C.J. Anderson's, and that was like 25.
Hillman's was kind of out there, too. But, yeah, I thought that, I mean, it's funny. What you saw from, not that Peyton played like Aaron Rodgers normally does, but, I mean, what you expected of Peyton Manning was what you saw from Rodgers. Like, shaky.
Looked
inaccurate throws. Very uncomfortable. I mean, couldn't really get the ball deep. Wasn't on his spot. I haven't seen Aaron Rodgers play like that in a long time. And you got to credit the Denver's defense, you know, give them almost most of the credit. But, I mean, I kind of feel like did it expose their receivers a little bit and their tight ends? I mean, you know, those guys weren't getting open.
It's a tough secondary to get open against. I mean, Chris Harris, Keeb Tlaib.
Bradley Roby. Come on, you have the best quarterback, arguably supposed to be best quarterback in the league. I mean, guys get open. They don't even have to be open anymore for people to make catches.
Yeah, especially James Jones. He never looks open.
Yeah, he doesn't ever, like, literally he never has separation, and he has had some monster games.
Yeah,
Cobb, I mean, the few times I saw him catch the ball, he looked like he got bitched, which never happens.
So you think they're missing Jordy Nelson pretty hard?
I think that game was the first game that showed that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they got nothing at the tight end spot. Richard Rodgers, I mean, what does he do?
Nothing at tight end, and they're getting nothing from their running game. I mean, their running game didn't look terrible last night. But, you know, Eddie Lacy has not been himself this year. It's good. I was happy to see it. I mean,
don't know. I don't want to jump off the bandwagon that hard.
I mean, who else is going to be able to put up a game like that against the Packers? Not many. I mean, no one is going to do it in Lambeau Field.
No.
I mean, how many even good teams do they face? I don't know. I haven't looked at their schedule. But, I mean, Denver's obviously a really good team. So, but I was happy to see it. The old gunslinger in Peyton had one last hurrah. I thought it was funny as shit.
Rooting for the Broncos. How dare you?
That's probably the only game of the year I will.
They're a legitimate threat. There's now three teams in the AFC who are 7-0.
Yeah, I'm not too afraid of them.
Pats don't get to play the Bengals, but I believe the Broncos play the Bengals and the Pats.
They do. Yeah, well, they definitely play us. I don't know about the Bengals. I would think that they...
I think they definitely do, because we play the AFC East plays the AFC South, which means the AFC West plays the AFC North. So they must have a matchup.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah. That's what the playoff picture looks like in the AFC right now. It's basically those three undefeated teams, and then I guess the Colts by default.
And Cincinnati beat the Steelers in a game the Steelers should have won.
I know, right? Really close game.
Andy Dalton didn't play very well.
Roethlisberger threw two interceptions in the fourth quarter.
He didn't play well either. Yeah, it wasn't too good. But they almost came back.
A lot of field goals in that game.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the NFL this week, I don't know if you noticed it, but there were a shit ton of injuries.
Yeah, for sure.
More than I can remember in any single week of the NFL. It was
big
injuries. It wasn't like, oh, this guy's knocked out. It was like knee, ankle, concussion,
Achilles,
collarbone,
kidney
Achilles.
Problem, neck surgery.
It's like, Jesus Christ. And it was big-time players, too. It wasn't like guys, you know, just like solid starters or whatever. It was like stars.
Yeah, it was like Le'Veon Bell out for the season. Steve Smith maybe done for his career. I mean, yeah. Big injuries.
Just a lot of them, just one after another. Matt Forte went down.
Kyrie Robinson broke his tibia.
It was bad. It was just bad. And a lot of them were nasty, too.
Oh, my God. Like, what's his name? Kerry Lockett? Is that the Seahawks guy's name?
It was like dead on the field.
Yeah, it was like 25 minutes they stopped the game for. He had to have neck surgery.
Keenan Allen, yeah, his kidney. It's like, what the hell happened there? I didn't
see
that one.
He made a great touchdown catch on that play, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He landed.
Phenomenal play. He's a very underrated player.
Oh, yeah, he's had a hell. He was destroying. He was lighting it up this year.
Yeah, that was a good game, too. Chargers-Ravens. Ravens came back at the very end. Get that field goal.
Did the Ravens win that game?
I think so. I think it was like 26-23, 29-26.
Oh, I thought they played Oakland.
No, San Diego-Baltimore.
Was
it? Yeah, 29-26.
Yeah, it was.
Oakland beat the shit out of the Jets.
That's what it was. Oakland, man. Derek Carr is pretty fucking good.
So is Amari Cooper.
Yeah, they're pretty damn good. I mean, they just laid it's awesome. It's one of those things where the Jets, you know, knew they had to beat us, and they gave us their all, and we didn't really play that well, and we still beat them, and they were probably just like, wow, we suck, and then Oakland just beats the shit out, just takes advantage of that and beats the crap out of them.
Yeah, that was the ultimate hangover game for the Jets.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. That was
Raiders scored more points against them than the Patriots did.
Raiders might be legit.
They're okay.
And then
what are they, 4-3 now? They have a winning record after 7 weeks for the first time in like 10 years or something. It's ridiculous.
They've been so bad for so long.
Oh, I love it. Love it. The Raiders are good.
Yeah, I like it when the Raiders are good too. It's funny to see. News tonight, the 49ers plummet to hell continues as their franchise quarterback Kaepernick just got benched for Blaine Gabbert, probably one of the biggest busts in recent history.
Yep.
That'll be fun to see.
Not to mention that they just traded Vernon Davis to the Broncos. Yep.
Atlanta is kind of... What happened to them?
They lost an OT to the Buccaneers at home.
That's what it was. At home.
At home.
That was pretty embarrassing.
They've been shitting a brick for like the last 4 weeks. I mean, they needed a big comeback to beat Brandon Whedon and the Cowboys. They lost to the Saints at home. They lost to Tampa Bay at home.
But what do you expect? I expected this.
Why?
They do it every year.
The Falcons? What about that year they went 13-3?
I remember they shit the bed a few times. They shit the bed in the playoffs. Didn't they get eliminated immediately?
Yeah, first game they played.
Last year, everyone thought they were going to be unbelievable, and they just sucked dick. Like, there's been they just can't seem to put it together. Matty Ice falls apart at certain times.
It was a really sloppy game. I was watching it on Red Zone, and there was just turnover after turnover. I mean, the guy Quan Alexander on the Buccaneers, the linebacker on the Buccaneers, he
ripped the ball out of Julio Jones' hands. Was that him?
Yeah, and like
that happened twice to Julio.
Did it really?
I think that happened twice. He fumbled the ball twice that game. Oh. One time he caught up with the guy and chased him down.
Yeah, that was Quan Alexander. That was an interception he had that got called back because of penalty.
Okay. And then there was another thing. Well, someone ripped the ball out of his hands.
It was just sloppy. It was gross. Yeah. It was really...
I mean, he still put up freak numbers, but yeah, it was not a good game.
Not good. Speaking of gross games, see the Cardinals and Browns?
Yeah, that was ugly. And
how were the
McCown
Browns hanging in there for three quarters?
The Browns got some fight in them. Luke McCown, I don't know how, he has got some fight in him.
Doesn't it seem like he breaks a bone every game?
Yeah, I don't know how that guy plays football.
He's
still
always getting crushed.
he's
falls
put his life on the line. I mean, that's why they're staying competitive. And then who'd Seattle play? I remember that was a pretty bad. Wasn't that a bad game?
Cowboys.
That was pretty bad.
It was like I think Seattle scored a late touchdown that won it, but it took to their final drive.
Bad
2 minutes left.
Yeah. And then otherwise, you have the highest scoring. Was it the highest scoring game in football history or just the most touchdowns?
It was the top Giants three highest scoring game ever.
It was like the second half came around. It was like touchdown, 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 touchdown. It's like, did the defense walk on the field that day?
There was 13 passing touchdowns. That's absurd. It doesn't even make sense.
Ridiculous.
Drew Brees had one of the statistically best games ever. I mean, 40 of 50 completions, 500 yards, 7 touchdowns.
It's pretty good.
It doesn't even sound... That's Madden numbers. That doesn't even sound real.
It's like, yeah, where... And was that Jason Pierre-Paul's like big comeback game? Or was the,
Did he
the
play?
Game? I think... I don't know if he played at all. I know he started practicing that week.
Oh, man. I bet people are just staring. Like that.
You see his hand? His hand is... Looks pretty gross.
Does it? I haven't seen it.
Google it if you want. It's a little. It's. You feel bad for the guy. It's like, well, that looks like a hand after a firework accident.
Yeah, that's a heck of a mistake to make. But
yeah,
hope you can play. Hope you can play well.
But yeah. So I mean,
you look around the league. It's not that scary.
No. Oh my God! There's no one. You look at our schedule; they're already asking Brady about 16-0, and he's like, "That's the furthest thing on my mind right now."
Dude, that literally Broncos game is going to be epic. I'm telling you.
And it's Sunday night football. There's a chance that it's both teams go undefeated. Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, probably for one last fucking time. I mean, you couldn't set the stage any better for that.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable. I
don't know if they planned that or something, like the NFL really can't, but I don't think so. I think that'd be pretty tough to plan.
I don't think they can plan like 10-0.
By the way,
teams are only 7-0. Let's knock on wood real hard.
Knock on wood.
For the Patriots,
yep.
Not for the Broncos.
But I mean, if that happened, like, Oh, that'd be so unbelievable. Just for the fact that, like, Peyton is probably done after this year. And it's just like, that was the best rivalry. I mean, even if they don't aren't both 7-0, they're still the two best teams in the AFC, right? Or 10-0.
I mean, what about the Bengals?
Fuck the Bengals. when do the Bengals play the Broncos, you know?
I think it's after that.
Oh. Still, I mean, that's going to be the best game of the year to this point.
I mean, Brady Manning is always the biggest game of the year.
And the fact that it's like the best matchup from like 2001 to 2015, every game in between it's like Brady Manning, like that's the game everyone wants. That's the game everyone wants to see. And it's always awesome. And it's happening one more time when we didn't know if it was going to happen.
Yeah. I desperately hope that it's like 25 degrees and snowing and windy.
Peyton's just brittle out there and can't
Peyton's
handle it.
Out there just... I can see his face.
Well, their offensive line's not that great.
They just lost their backup left tackle for the season.
So, talking about that pass rush, they might be fucked.
Dude, look at our offensive line and their pass rush. I mean, it goes both ways.
Eh. Brady gets the ball out so fast. It's a lesser of an issue for us.
You just have Peyton no cares in the world. You have utmost confidence. Ridiculous.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We got the Redskins next week, then the Giants after that.
Yeah, we have to do the Patriots mentality where, well, we can only do anything about next game. We can't do shit about late November.
Yep, one week at a time.
We'll talk about the Redskins.
That's right. We'll be back later this week to give a preview podcast to the Redskins game, which is also in Gillette. They had a nice 3-game homestand here.
That's great.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, but that means that you got even more games on the road coming up. So enjoy it while you can, Patriots players. Anyway, that'll do it for the Week 8 wrap-up podcast. Like I said, we'll be back next week, and that'll do it for us.
All right, adios.
And by next week, I mean later this week. See ya.